Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we get you ready for tomorrow's game as the Texans. They look to get to 7-2 and another win over an AFC opponent.
Yes!
As they will take on the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers and company got to have the win, and the Texans need to go ahead and get in there and get that W just as bad as they do to get themselves to 7-2 to keep seeding right. Right now, they would be the 2 seed if things ended in the AFC. I think the 2 or the 3, them and Pittsburgh, have the same record. But, Clint, I think it's interesting when we start to look at, as we've been talking all week, and we talk about, damn, man, they've got, you know, so many injuries here, especially on the offensive side of the ball now with Diggs out for the year, and now it's going to be no Nico and no Diggs. And at the end of that game last week, there was no Nico and no Diggs. And hell, I don't know that Nico and Tank have played. You know, I'm sorry, Nico and Joe Mixon have played very much together. When you look at Joe Mixon going out in the middle of the Bears game and then missing all the time, and then Nico Collins missing all the time, they haven't even, the two biggest weapons so far, haven't played a lot together. Obviously, the offensive line issues and everything that's happened. This offense has not quite hit like it was last year in year two of Slowick and Stroud and company. A couple of things on this here. One, do you think that Bobby Slowick, who I think was a surefire, hot head coaching candidate, not just last year, but then going into next year with him coming back, thought like, hey, man, we have been talking about Jerron Johnson probably going to slide over, be the play caller, and just kind of have this pipeline. Do you think these first eight weeks he has hurt his chances of becoming a head coach in the league?
Oh, he's affected. He's hurt him, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. No, I absolutely. Now, I still think he's going to be a hot head coach candidate. I mean, the system he comes out of, I do think he's head coach material in the way he conducts his business and how thorough he is and how well he coaches, the connections that he has. That's going to be very powerful in front of other owners that are building an organization.
But he's added more questions.
Yeah, look, there's no question that you know when you got to strike while the iron's hot, and I don't know that his iron. I think we actually talked about this last year.
Oh yeah,
I don't know that his iron is ever going to be hotter than it was after that year with C.J. Stroud. And the reason I say that is because I just and it's a hill I'll die on. I may end up being wrong again. I'm okay with being wrong. I think it's going to be very difficult for C.J. Stroud to duplicate what he did last year, which in turn it's going to be very difficult for Bobby to duplicate what he did last year. And so I don't know that the iron's ever going to be hotter given how shocked everybody was at how well C.J. played and then also how that affected the team in terms of going to the second round of the playoffs. But, yeah, just sticking, Ron, to your point of this year, like, there's no way around it that, I mean, the national narrative around C.J. Stroud, I think it shifted after the Green Bay game, right? Isn't that when we had the Mina Kimes audio and maybe Dan Orlovsky?
They're scared.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, it was Alex Smith, not Dan Orlovsky. But, yeah, I mean, I think everybody is taking note of how much pressure he's been under. And I don't know how you look at, I don't know how you don't first and foremost look at the offensive coordinator when that indeed is the case. Now, if you had an offensive line that you didn't have so much invested in, then people would say, yeah, but, you know, they can't find an answer at left guard, or they can't find an answer at center, or they can't find – when you've got two first-round picks – I'm sorry, a first, a second, and then two first-round picks that are in their second contract that you chose to pay, and – a Super Bowl champion quarterback, I mean, a right guard. I don't know how we don't look at the offensive coordinator and say, hey, man, what's the holdup here, man? What's the problem? I think you start there. And you look at some of the things that they've done this year, I think it's very difficult to look at Bobby Slowick in the same light that you had last year. I mean, the toss play that we talked about yesterday, I mean, that may be the worst call that I've ever seen Bobby Slowick make.
That toss play?
The toss play. In that scenario, with the movement of the tight end, with Robert Woods blocking a hand-in-the-dirt rush end, play side, the way you're pitching that thing, in that scenario, that may be the most bonehead call I've seen Bobby Slowick
make. Dang it, Bobby.
That was a tough watch. Watching that on film, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. What are we even thinking?
Is that Slowick losing it?
And stuff like that. Some of the game management situations, you know, that's it's hard to think that none of that's going to impact his popularity as it pertains to being a head coach next year. Now, I think he's still, I think when it boils all down to it, I think he'll be a head coach. I think that'll happen. But this year matters. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And, as Nick goes vest mode on YouTube and Twitch says, I don't see Bobby being on anybody's short list. There's some people saying Slowick could go to Miami. Some people saying he could go to Dallas. There's an opening
Miami.
There.
Is Mike leaving?
I don't know.
Is his seat hot?
It might be a little bit. It doesn't seem like he can do anything without Tua. So that's kind of been a deal there and where they are. But
yeah, I think Bobby will be on short list. How short is your list? I think you get if you have a vacancy. I think if you got a list of 3 to 5 head coaches, I think Bobby's on it.
It's crazy to me because the biggest thing that Bobby needed to do was, hey man, the biggest question is, what's up with you, man? Can you develop a run game?
Yes.
Yeah, I just hit then, that. Exactly. You're all
and
right.
Now,
but
we've gone to a point where the run game 180. The run game is developed to a point where Clint, who all offseason said this better be a pass first team. They've got to pass the ball instead of the run. And now the only thing they could do against the Packers in his worst game was run. And Joe Mixon.
Holy cow. Yeah.
And now he's developed a run game, and I think he may be at the very least in a worse spot to become a head coach than he was.
The tough spot is the expectations for CJ Stroud were through the roof, and as the team offense struggles and he gets pressured, the numbers struggle, the narrative changes, and so does the popularity of Bobby Slowick, I think, and fair or foul, that's the reality of the business that he's in. Here's the thing though, Ron, and this is the interview, because you did hit on something. It's like done a 180, right? He went from not being able to run the football consistently to
that was the biggest thing, is man, oh, you can't. I mean,
right.
You can't.
Well, and here's the deal. Like last year, we'd all sit around and be like, damn, Bobby, what are you doing, man? Quit forcing a run, man. And that's just a matter of us getting mad at him continuing to try to run the football. You flip, it's done a 180 now, and he's being bullheaded about throwing the football the way he is. And now it's not just about play calling or just about fans not understanding. Now you're putting CJ in harm's way because you can't protect him. You know what I mean? So it is interesting that we've done a 180, and now instead of just being bullheaded and wasting downs, now you're being bullheaded and you're ultimately choosing to expose your offensive line, who has proven that they're just not very good in pass protection.
Oh, no.
And in the process, you are exposing C.J. Stroud to potential injury at a very, very high rate. Again, knockdowns, sacks, fourth in the league right now. I mean, it's definitely been a 180. Now, look, I don't subscribe to Bobby's not a good play caller. Bobby's not I still think very, very highly of Bobby Slowick. There's just got to be some, like, to me, the awareness at this point is the deal. Right on, we talked about it, and we disagreed on it last week. You actually were right. Come out, take the ball. Hell, I thought you were crazy saying it. You said it, and I'd be damned if it didn't win what they did.
Is that my great boy,
return.
Ron?
Came out, took the ball, great return, threw it 12 of 16 times. And to me, I mean, that's borderline criminal. And why is exactly what we saw. You end up having to bench an offensive lineman, putting a center at guard, and then you end up your quarterback getting beat up pretty good early in the game. Like, that's at some point, you got to turn the page from that, Bobby.
You know what? And listening to you, because you're as you were talking about his, you know, where he is now in terms of his head coaching opportunities, Tyler, I'm curious, because you talk to a lot of Texans fans outside of here. I know you got group chats and all of that. Clint, I mean, you as well. So, I mean, obviously, I'm not excluding you from this. And the people out here as well, we see it. from the text line to YouTube to Twitch. That's all up, you know, Texas, Twitter, whatever. Do you feel, though, do you feel Bobby is taking too much of the brunt? Do you feel like, because with everything that you just, like, you kind of laid, like, we've laid out, like, I mean, all of the injuries and the offensive line issues, I mean,
I don't think so.
They prevent him from being able to call things the way he does. But you think he is fairly...
No, absolutely fair, the criticism Bobby Sloak's getting. And I think I would have felt that way either way, just given his position and his role with this Texans team in 2024. But when you add in the fact that, yes, this past offseason, we thought Sloak might be as good as gone. He was given a raise, offered to come back to Houston, continue to work with CJ, develop on what we saw and what was built last season. You gotta show me something. You gotta get there somehow. I mean, he got the raise. He stayed here in Houston. He didn't go off anywhere else. So no, I think the criticism's more than fair, Bobby.
Tyler brings up a great point. Like, and we've heard Bobby say it himself. Is boy, the difference between last year and this year is, man, we can pick up right where we left off, man. We can build on what we did last year. And if we're being completely honest, the only thing that hasn't either stayed the same or gone backwards is the fact that you signed Joe Mixon. I'm telling you, Ron, like you, the when you watch Joe Mixon, the run blocking is better, but it's not, as you can see, when you put Damian Pierce or you put a backup running back in there, it just goes by the wayside. Yeah. Doesn't look anywhere the same. So
I love, like, Joe Mixon.
That's a great point, T, of like, you know, building on year to year and taking the next step offensively. Like, the pass protection has backslid, which in turn, like, CJ has backslid, which I think was going to happen because last year was so great. It was going to, like, because he's under so much pressure, CJ's backslid a bit. The only guy that didn't is really Nico. I mean, you caught me. I mean, Nico may have gotten better.
But that's kind of my point with Bobby in hearing both of you and people texting in, is as I'm seeing someone says, speak on it, Tyler, Joseph said.
Amen,
speak,
brother.
Someone texted, my biggest gripe is how bad the offense is when we actually have a run game. And I want to make it clear, I think Bobby, you're the leader of this thing. He is, man. I thought Bobby was really noticeably bad at times in the last game.
You ever watch Bobby?
To me, when you saw that Kenyon Green was clearly struggling, and Kenyon and everybody else up front with what the Colts were doing, and you were dropping back as much as you did, I thought that guy. I didn't really have a problem coming right out the gate trying to get this thing going. But after you clearly saw the problem, you had to replace him, then you had to bring him back in, and you slanging that sucker again.
Yeah.
That was the worst to me of Bobby this year. But it's a hard deal of, hey, I gotta understand what Bobby is doing over here. And then when you say everybody has probably taken a step back except Nico Collins, then who is that on? Like, I mean, like, how much is that on the players? Like, Dalton Schultz, I mean, how much is that? Like, some of that I do think is on Bobby for putting him in the Minnesota game in positions. But he's also just sucked. Like, Tank Dell.
Hold on, Schultz.
I think Bobby and them thought we're going to have a passing. Yep. See, we're going to have a three-headed guy, three receivers that could go get. Man, he took an offer.
Yep.
In a game. Yep. Like, Tank Dell is not the same dude that he was, right?
Has not been. You are correct.
Dalton Schultz, not the same. Like the offensive line, like, Bobby worked with far less on that offensive line last year. And it wasn't just against bad opponents, against the Steelers, one of the best pass rushers in the league. And they were able to get something out of it. And now this year, he's got more talented people. Everybody's been healthy for the most part. Titus has missed a game, but everybody's been healthy. And they suck far worse than George Fant, Shaq Mason, and then it was Patterson, and it was...
Don't leave Dieter out now.
Dieter. I'm trying to get to... There was a bunch of centers. There were about three of them. Deculus and
Kendrick.
Broker got one. Kendrick Green got some action. Like...
Dang it, Bobby.
Some of it,
exactly,
yes,
what
Bobby gets it. But what's the other piece of... Hey, some of these dudes got to... It ain't just the play calling. Bobby's not. How the hell did last year's stuff work like it did in the passing game? And then this year, like it.
Yeah.
It's gone. I understand there's, you know, coordinators making some adjustments, and he's got to make some, which I think he gets some blame for that too. But damn, man, when you said that, just popped to me. Everybody, who else has gotten better? Like, who else's play would you look at and say, well, they're better than they were last year?
Nico and Joe.
And Joe wasn't on the team last year. And Nico.
On a much smaller
Xavier
scale.
Xavier Hutchinson, I guess?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
No, you are spot on, Ron. There's no doubt.
There's got to be a mix of it.
Oh, hell yeah, there is. Absolutely. I just, when we're talking specifically, when you ask a question, it's specifically about Bobby Slowick for me. Like, I can't put the Minnesota game, from a protection standpoint, I can't put that on tight ends, man.
No, I
know there are tight ends in this league. You see no-name tight ends that ain't making nowhere near $12 million a year. You see them pass protect, and they get it done. What in the world are you thinking Dalton Schultz and even Cade Stover's first action that he's going to get it done against Jonathan Grenard? Like, I can't put those things on the lack of talent or guys that just need to play better. And there's a lot of that across the board. Schematically, some of the stuff that they're doing offensively from a protection standpoint makes no freaking sense. Like, it's not that difficult. It is not that difficult, especially when you're not very good and you can, all these sophisticated next level type protections, eliminate them. We ain't got it. It ain't in our bag, man. It's not in our bag. Let's use these protections right here. And if this is the case, CJ, you got to throw hot, or you got to throw it away if they bring that pressure. They only bring that pressure 15% of the time. Throw it away if it happens to us and it happens at the wrong time. Throw it away. Like you can't. What they're doing schematically, both the tight ends, or let's say they've done a better job recently, but like
the tight ends. The Minnesota game, they clearly adjusted off of that.
Yes, and then there's some stuff offensively with the offensive line that we saw rear its ugly head multiple times. Like Kenyon Green and the sporadic and spastic play of like going to bouncing from helping Juice to helping Laramie.
Is he coaching? You don't think they're coaching that, right?
Ron, he chased the defensive tackle all the way around.
I just don't believe the offensive line coaches just coaching it.
You're either coaching or you're allowing it. That's my point, though. I don't. And by the way, when I say Bobby Slowick, the O-line coach is included in that mix. Like, I don't know who's responsible.
And I know we got to get out of here, and we can revisit more of this a little bit. But Clint, real quick on this. When you say, like, yes, it's now time, you got to change, you got to do whatever you can to make the protection get as easy, whatever you got to do for them to make it better.
Yes.
Is he, whatever they're outside of the tight end blocking defensive ends, whatever it is that they're asking them to do, should that be something NFL offensive linemen should be able to do with ease?
No.
So what they're asking
are there offensive linemen that can do it?
But you're saying, but what they're at, like, so it is a difficult level of protection he's asking them to do.
Difficult and dumb, a lot of the times. Like Ron, they try to slide a center. There's a D tackle that's lined up on the outside of shoulder of the guard, and they tried to slide protect all the way out, and the center go get that D tackle. He turned sideways immediately, and he's just riding him to CJ Stroud immediately. There's no way you're not gonna do it. It's not gonna happen. It just doesn't. Instead, you block the guard on that D tackle, you block the tackle on the end, and you pop the center to get the outside rusher. Like, it's just common sense stuff that they don't do. It's crazy, man. What defenses can do to put them in a real bind physically. How easy that happens.
Yep. All right, coming up, a little stock up, stock down, as we do every Wednesday. We'll let you know who we see stocks going up and whose stocks going down. That's coming up next.
Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though. There's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
And tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
You like the bell? You like the market's open, baby.
Got your bell, the market's open.
I've been looking at this bell in this studio for months, if not years. And
you've been waiting on it?
Yeah, found a reason.
It is. Use for it.
Exactly. Welcome into The Drive on a hump day. Wednesday at this time, 3:30 p.m. means one thing. We're keeping an eye on the market with your Houston Texans for you here on The Drive. So, let's get it going. Fellas, let's go with old Dirty Red first here. Clint Sterner, Texans stock up. Which players for this Texan squad are you buying stock in heading into Thursday Night Football against the New York Jets?
Man, this is a good one for this week, T. This is there's several of them that I think the stock can be up for. I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit, and I'm going to go with Devin White, the newest member of the Houston Texans.
Ooh.
We're talking about a guy that Ron and I sat here last week, and we said, damn, is he even going to be able to play? Is he even going to be able to get on the field? Played 30-plus snaps, pressured the quarterback a couple of times. Damn near, and D'Amico said it nicely. Said, "I'm going to use pressured the quarterback when really they were missed sacks." Showed a lot of promise, and so one by the fact that he got on the field and was able to play that many snaps, he gained the trust of everybody around him to be able to do that.
He didn't tap out like Anthony Richardson.
He did not tap out like Anthony Richardson, but when he did play, he actually made plays and impacted the game. And then the third reason is, We're in a spot at the linebacker position with the Christian Harris situation, with Azeez Al-Shaair's knee being a little bit worse than we thought, with the concussion. A football concussion is wild anyway, but when it's a linebacker, a position where really you lead with your head and get away with it by the position you play. You never know what Toa Toa is gonna happen with him moving forward. So the fact that it's a position of need, and it's a position where, boy, the injuries are just, they're lingering a lot longer than I thought they would. I've got to go with Devin White. And when I say stock up, we mentioned this is a guy that's a lot younger than I thought he was.
The arrow's pointed up.
And, T, for me, I think there's a real high side of this guy getting back to playing some of his best balls. So my hopes are a big part of this as well, that he can get back to playing some of the ball he's playing.
Okay, so Clint's buying stock in the newcomer, the linebacker Devin White. Ronald the Show Hughley, who are you buying stock in on this Texans team heading into New York for Thursday night?
Just run. I'm going to go Danielle Hunter. Will has, as I said last week, been the best defensive player on this team and has gotten a lot of the praise and well-deserved.
Got the arrow's pointed up.
Another sack in this game on Sunday. But Danielle Hunter is coming along. I felt like he was starting off slow, but he has started to make some big time plays, got some big pressures, and now it's got himself up to 5.5 sacks. And not just the sacks, the pressures. So I think there have been times this year where he's not been as noticeable, or his impact hasn't been as big on the team. I think the last couple of weeks he's coming. Okay. But like Danielle Hunter is coming. So, and his numbers are showing it in his play showing.
Okay, so you stayed on the defensive side of the ball as well. You are listening to The Drive's Texan Stock Up, Stock Down every Wednesday, 3:30, right here on these airwaves. Let's stick with you, Ron, real quick. Stock down. What Texan player or players are you selling? Are you not really feeling great about right now as they prepare for the Jets?
I'm going to stay on the D-line, and that's D'Nico Autry. He has not recorded a statistic in the two games that he has played.
Mm. Oh,
I had a tackle.
Damn.
Now he did have a pressure into Richardson's legs on that forced a tougher throw on a third down, but just not what you were hoping. And listen, clear, he's missed the first 6 weeks of the year, and it's going to take a little time. But to the point Clint was making, the impact that Mario Edwards Jr. was making was a far bigger impact than what D'Nico Autry has right now. So right now, D'Nico Autry stock down.
Okay, gotcha. Real quick, Dirty Red, stock down.
Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce. I thought during the game with Damian Pierce, with Joe Mixon just getting all the run and Damian Pierce kind of disappearing, I was always wondering, like, what the hell's going on here?
Got a one.
Yeah. But the thought of, like, man, can you spell the guy a little bit here? And clearly there was something wrong and he couldn't do it. So in a moment where boy, he really needs to get in there and produce at least 3, 4, 5 carries when he can. And we need him to spell Joe Mixon. He goes out there and not only doesn't get the take advantage of the opportunity to do that, but gets injured again. Mm. Now we're looking at Damian Pierce being an injury-prone backup running back. Stock down on Damian Pierce.
Boy, and in a week where you're going to run the football probably a lot more than normal, you've traded away Cam Akers. I guess it's going to be Dare Ogunbowale or
J.J. Taylor and Dare Ogunbowale, baby.
J.J. Taylor coming up. We'll see. So, yeah, that's a miss. And, man, this injury thing is, like, to me, we're getting close to, hey, buddy, you got hurt and missed the rest of the season. Your rookie year missed some time at times last year and has already, now he's going to miss, I think, his fifth game this season. So, yeah, a lot there. All right, coming up as we continue riding here on the drive. How nervous? Tomorrow we're going to do a lot of Texans talk leading into to the game, and Friday we'll be doing a lot of reaction. But I want to know, how nervous are A&M fans about this weird game in Columbia?
More ass kicking chickens.
That's one of those weird games when you're having a dream season and you look back in one of those games, like a.
Why is he doing this, Tyler?
I'm just saying. All right, I can.
Why
do
is
it.
He doing this?
I don't know, but I hate it because it's work, and I've been nervous about this game
like,
since
you
LSU
know,
ended.
Like you could be in Knoxville riding high. And undefeated, and then just
you gonna take us both out?
Damn.
A weird game against an Arkansas team that has you on the ropes. So, how nervous?
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
Should A&M fans be about this game against South Carolina? We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
This game Saturday is an odd game. This is one of the ones because to me I until the Texas game at College Station, I like A&M to me feels like not only you know should they win it you know these aren't games you're really that concerned about until you get to Texas except this one. Because A&M, they get past, you know, after South Carolina, you got New Mexico State and Auburn on the road. You should handle those. But this South Carolina team is weird, man.
Their pass rush is terrifying.
They're 4-3, and they've got losses. It's crazy. Like, sometimes you think about it, like, they beat the brakes off Kentucky and Lexington. And then Kentucky, the very next week, gave Georgia everything they could handle and lost 13-12. But South Carolina scored all up and down. I remember flipping through CBS or ABC saying, to hell with this. This thing is over. But they've got losses at home by 3 to LSU. We talked about the Alabama game on the road that they were leading in the fourth quarter and then had a real chance to win later in the fourth quarter, even after they gave up the lead. And then they just blew out. Now, Oklahoma's not the Oklahoma that has been, but they beat the hell out of Oklahoma in Norman. This South Carolina game, fellas, this is a weird one for A&M. This is one of those ones where
you ain't lying.
The early part can make you nervous. You can see this being, you know, a game where, you know, South Carolina comes out early and they've got high intensity and A&M can match it. And now, you know, this one is a weird one. A&M's got this quarterback situation thing on who's going to play and who's not, who's going to be the guy. This is an interesting game, say the least, in Columbia, South Carolina on Saturday night.
Interesting is a really good way to put it. This is a game, again, for me, I'm 1 week into buying that A&M, first time in a long time, that A&M is an absolute contender. This is the A&M team that I've been looking for since Jimbo Fisher took the job, to be completely honest with you. And this is a week where they can prove it. Last week was a monster at home, but there is no doubt about it. There may not be a bigger advantage in terms of home field advantage than what you have in College Station. It's absolutely ridiculous, and that was on display last weekend. Now, they're on the road, right?
Yep. It's correct.
I'm going to tell you, man, and this is a game where A&M should go in there with their ears pinned back, playing hair on fire, and kick the hell out of South Carolina.
Yeah!
But Lenore Sellers, the quarterback at South Carolina, them ass-kicking chickens, they're gonna go as he goes, and I'm telling you, now he may be god awful on Saturday, but there's also a chance that he's gonna be great. He's a big dude that can run it, that can extend plays. He's got a big arm. He is a highlight reel if there ever was one, and some high highs and some low lows. But boy, if you catch him on a day where he's got them, yeah, he's rocking and rolling, man, the Aggies could have their hands full. So this is a chance to me for the Aggies to go in there and prove that this ain't Jimbo Fisher's Aggies. Because Jimbo Fisher's Aggies, they'd walk in here like the crap didn't stink.
Oh, yeah.
They'd walk in here like they already been in a national championship game. They'd walk in here like they're better than South Carolina, thinking that they can just walk through this thing and beat them away ass-kicking chickens. And
that's pitiful.
You'd look up and Jimbo'd be on the hash yelling at his quarterback in the fourth quarter when you're down 10.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game for me, for the Aggies, for this football team. I know I love Elko. I said this when he got hired. I liked Elko taking over with his discipline and kind of his approach. I think he's going to do good things, but this is the time for these players. And I know there's a lot of turnover nowadays in college football. This is the time for all these players to prove that it's no longer Jimbo Fisher's Aggies. This is Mike Elko. This is a different squad, and we're going to handle our business.
Yeah, these are the games that traditionally, like Georgia and Alabama, haven't been losing. Like, yep. You know what I mean?
Take care of business.
And like I said, this is a tough game. This is a road game, and this is going to be a team that is absolutely ready for this game. And it is A&M.
Yeah.
Is A&M ready for it? Because you can see scenarios in which they struggle offensively, and it's a weird game, and they maybe struggle with this defense. But because if they get past this one, because that's what I want. I got a
November
dog.
30th, baby.
That's it. I don't have a dog in the fight, but two one loss teams, and you know, A&M being undefeated in the conference,
5-0,
for that game to be at the highest that it could be, Texas versus Texas A&M. That's the one, because you could. I don't know how the tiebreakers work out. We were just talking about this during the break. Because Georgia and Tennessee play each other. The winner of that, which I'd assume it's probably going to be Georgia, but the winner of that, they'll be sitting there with one loss.
Mm-hmm.
A&M doesn't have any losses. Texas has one loss. That could be for however the tiebreakers work out. That could be for a spot, the final spot.
Huge.
In the SEC championship game. So I want to see if A&M's mature enough to handle this.
That's it. Maturity is the answer.
Mature enough
now,
to handle this game.
Here's the thing. Just a little recent history in the SEC, history being this year. There have been teams on the top of this conference. There's been teams that have been on the top of the country and get beat. Tennessee's been high, top five ranked. Arkansas beat them. No business losing that football game. Alabama's been top ranked.
Man.
Vanderbilt has beaten them. You look down, Ole Miss was at the top of their game and the talk of the town. Who got them? Kentucky went in there and got them. And so when you look at this, we've seen more teams go down in these situations than we have seen rise up in these situations, right? So you can even throw Georgia in there, by the way, boys. I mean, we're looking at this Georgia. That ain't the same Alabama team. Like, this ain't Saban's Alabama team.
Kentucky almost got them.
Yeah, we're looking. That's a different Alabama. So you can say that Alabama getting Georgia is right along with some of those lesser teams jumping on some of the top-ranked football teams. So, look, the reality of it is who in the SEC is going to get to the top the way A&M is right now, and to your point, be the mature champion of the group and not give up and have some inexcusable loss along the way.
Yeah, and just to speak to what y'all have been saying this entire segment, we've been talking college ball. I mean, this is most likely just going to be a straight up showdown in South Carolina between A&M and the Gamecocks. This game right now, y'all know I'm degenerate. Check the betting lines. Game right now, Aggies are only a 2.5-point favorite in South Carolina. So get it done, boys.
On text in, I really like Elko, is what Sally says.
I do too, Sally. Hey, save me a little set room Saturday. I want 100 on them Ags, man.
Okay, I can do that. See, let me know ahead of time. I got you covered, brah.
You sure?
Yeah. No,
he needs anything a man today. He's a man of his word.
I know, but I'm just saying, you never know what could happen between today and
cojones and your word. It's all you got, man.
That may get him. That may get him. No, man.
I think it's knocked out of commission. That's a different animal.
I'm rooting for A&M, just because I want this A&M Texas thing to be for it all.
I've been getting so hyped thinking about that, man. I mean, November 30th is going to be here before we know it. I'm most likely going to come into work the Monday after that just Longhorn Aggie game, and I'm not going to have a voice.
Just take off. If you win, it's well worth the day off. If you lose, nobody won't see your ass anyway.
I think there needs to be some sort of video footage, like of you at that game that we can use.
I think you should hire a crew, follow you around.
Yeah,
see what Figgy's, like a documentary.
See what Figgy's doing.
You want to really jump on the scene, walk around College Station tailgating with a crew following you. Who's that guy over there? Oh, that's T. Mill.
That's T. Mill, real deal.
T. Mill, 67% of the books this year.
And someone texted in. So who's starting, Wedman or Reed?
2 hours ago, Elko said they have not made that decision.
Of course they had,
which is kind of terrifying. But
this is a game. This is a game where if you don't start Reed, you're making a major. You're making a major mistake.
Could not agree more.
You want that 100 back if Reed's not starting?
No, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
With the way they're going to be pursuing the quarterback,
that tries to fight everybody in pregame. Settle that down, Elko. By the way, come on, man. Settle that down.
He wants it to be settled down.
You hear him, guys?
You hear him?
It's the same one that damn near got him. I know he got him 1 15-yard penalty. Damn near got 2 or 3 in that game. I'm sitting there watching that game thinking the only thing that can keep the Aggies from kicking off in LSU's ass at this point in time is if this D lineman keeps elbowing guys in the head. You see?
Hold that tiger.
It was like he was a wrestler or something.
I think his coach likes it.
Ron, he literally was pushing and trying to fight in pregame.
I think his coach likes it.
I'm talking about in pregame walk, stadium walk.
His coach is picking fights with Jimbo.
I mean, hell,
what do y'all think of Elko's belly?
Bigger, better. Own that thing.
Yeah, it is.
Bad thing is he's gonna be like Bielema was at Arkansas. He's gonna wear that big white half zip, and it's just gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger, and everybody's gonna be laughing at him.
It's like
I think he's seeing himself. I think next year he really brings.
He better get off his carbs, man.
I think next year he comes back and
tell him them pregame carbs are not for the coaches.
He pulls a who's the Giants coach?
Daboll.
Yeah, he pulls a Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll, really.
Elko don't look like he gives a damn.
Yeah, he really doesn't.
He looks like a big guy that's going to own it.
Shapely fella.
I think he cares a little bit now. Now he's on a bigger stage. Yeah, well, Duke, who gives a rip?
He's got one of them bellies that it's not just big. It looks like it has like a hard shell.
Oh,
it does. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He's swollen. There is no doubt. There ain't no doubt that thing's hard.
I think it's
squishy. There's probably not much hang there.
I bet it's squishy. Yeah, I bet it's squishy.
I mean, there may be a layer there.
I think it's squishiness.
Layer of blubber.
I don't think he jumps on it. He bounces up.
No, I think it's uncomfortable for him to lay on his stomach.
It's like he's got a medicine ball under his shirt.
I think it's
what do you have coming up?
Yes, a medicine ball. How about a beach
side
ball?
Sleeper.
That's unbelievable. All right, the Texans, man. 8 games in. We were told 6 to 8 games in that that's how long it takes for them to figure out who the hell they are and what they're doing. Where are you at? 713-572-4610. All the things we know. We'll rehash them. I'll line them up for you in the next segment. And you tell me, what do you want the Texans to do in moving forward in this game on Thursday night? What is the Texans' identity right now? Can't believe we're having this conversation, but it's real, folks. Also, we all thumb social media, baby. We all thumb social media. Let's try a little something from the gram. I got a couple of things that I got to check with the folks about from Instagram. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.